This is KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. The latest Star Wars film, The Force Awakens, is opening later this week to an incomparable level of anticipation, hype, and goodwill. I was one of those little kids who stood in line to see the original Star Wars, but I haven't been a passionate follower in more recent years. But the marketing on The Force Awakens has fueled a passion among people who aren't considered traditional Star Wars fans. To talk about that and more is Bob Beard of the Center for Science and the Imagination at ASU. He's also the founder of the PBS Nerdwalk. Bob, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks very much.
So let's start with Star Wars. What do you make of this sort of unique infrastructure, this multimedia marketing that has sort of made people who really haven't been fans for decades like me sort of consider, it seems multi-generational to me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I think Star Wars is this incredible cultural referent, right? Like everybody knows it, even if you didn't see any of the movies. I mean, I can pick up the stapler over here and go vroom, vroom, and you know what I'm doing, right? So what Star Wars has is it has this superstructure, right? This transmedia superstructure that's rhizomic, that you don't need to be a part of that original canon. You don't need to know the Skywalker story, the Skywalker legacy to be a Star Wars fan. There's kids playing with toys who have never seen the movies. There's games and books only about one element of the universe. And then in digital communication with Twitter and whatnot, I can have a conversation using just Darth Vader memes, and I'm still engaging in a cultural production of Star Wars without actually viewing the movies. So it's a new world.
Maybe some of our listeners would disagree, but I think based on when you talk about something like this, when there are marketing campaigns for things, like you see a particular character on, let's say, whatever product it may be, a lot of people shake their heads. For some reason, with Star Wars, it doesn't quite feel that way. It sort of feels okay.
Yeah, I mean, the fandom for Star Wars is the engine that runs it, right? Like, I like to think of fandom on an X, Y, and Z axis. Like, you have the X axis, which is the canon, which is the media that is made. And then you have the Y axis, which is the licensing and the merchandising. And then you have the Z axis, and that's fits in everything else. That's the fandom, and that's what negotiates all these distributed parts. And that's what also gives real-world context to all these disparate elements. But also, because fandom relies on time and energy and resources, and that's so much of what fandom is, somebody inevitably is going to monetize it, right? Like, somebody is going to make Darth Vader salad tongs because they want to be a part of that movement, which I think fandom's at a really interesting point right now, because there was a time, and you still see it a little bit in media narratives, that you see somebody dressed up as a stormtrooper, and it's like, what's that weirdo doing? But what you don't understand, or what I think, you know, your listeners might be interested to understand, is that there is a lot of important work going on in that fandom. It's connected learning, and it's driven by that passion and that imagination of that world.
It's funny that you mentioned that people might laugh at someone dressed like that, because it actually feels to me more like, whether it's cosplay or whether we're hearing more about Comic-Con and this sort of thing, it does feel like the narrative is being pushed more by folks who say, you know, I have other things in my life, but I'm really passionate about this. And you've probably got some hidden passion, too. Why not let it out? Why not be an authentic fan?
Yeah. And I think also with fandom is that, and especially in terms of Star Wars, which is this rich intertextual universe, you can overlay whatever your fandom is or whatever your experience is into that universe, and it's accessible. There's a blog run by a patent lawyer, and he actually does legal briefs about the Star Wars universe, and he applies his real-world expertise into this thing that he loves, which is just amazing. I mean, he's talking about Han shooting first is actually considered like a stand your ground legal argument. So it is legal self-defense. Han Solo is justified.
Where does fandom play into our identities as individuals?
That's a great question. Like I said, everybody's a fan for something. And what you can do is you're creating and sort of remixing and understanding your identity in terms of this thing that you love. And when it gets back to connected learning, I mean, you're really creating a voice and a representation for yourself. And I think also there's an element of self-efficacy, right? So not only are you driven by your innate curiosity, but in fan communities, you're supported by others in that realm, people that are experts, people that are fellow practitioners. There's a shared purpose because you're contributing to the universe, but you're actually making something real. I mean, you might be making a stormtrooper helmet, but you're producing something and you're making it and you're innovating and you're iterating and you're learning from others while you're doing this, you know, amazing work.
It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. A few more minutes up with Bob Beard of ASU's Center for Science and the Imagination at ASU. We're talking about fandom. We're also talking a little bit about The Force Awakens. Now, Bob, I came to you because the Center for Science and the Imagination seemed to be a good fit for that. I mean, are these on parallel paths as far as what you guys look into?
Oh, absolutely. So the center serves as a space between humanities and the science to provide collaboration between artists and engineers and the public to engage in big questions about science and the future. And so we celebrate this, especially these big, grand science fiction epics like this Force Awakens, and we're inspired by that collective imagination surrounding them. It's a great space for learning and to facilitate a dialogue between all the constituents, because we're all going into the future together. Let's build it together.
Well, Star Wars was initially, when the film came out in the mid to late 70s, it was talking about how it was sort of like a Western in space. And so that sort of crosses this idea of culture and literary and even fandom now as well. How important is it for any of these films or any of these TV shows to have a great plot and great characters in addition to just having people get excited about it? I mean, does it have to be a quality product?
I think the product will engender the fandom. So if it's a subpar product, it's not authentic. I mean, I look at the other movies that came out on the heels of Star Wars. Let me name one: Ice Pirates. If anybody remembers Ice Pirates, probably call into the show. But it's one of those there was a glut of knockoffs, and they weren't authentic, and they didn't come from the place. They were just a cash grab. Mm-hmm. And so I think the fandom is savvy enough to identify the things that are purposeful and that are authentic, and that they can operate within.
All right, take us inside the head of Bob Beard for a second, even if it's a scary place. I hope it's not. But what are you really passionate about as a fan when it comes to entertainment, when it comes to sci-fi, whatever it may be?
I kind of miss the boat on Star Wars a little bit. Like, I'm really into it now because my kids are into it, and so I'm seeing it through their eyes, which is amazing. So, yes, I get it. Like, I'm a convert. But because I missed out on Star Wars, right after that, it was Indiana Jones. So, huge Indiana Jones fan and huge Ghostbusters fan. I've gone so far as to build my own proton pack, which is a little obsessive, and it scared off my wife when we were newly married. You're going to do what?
So are you excited about the all-female Ghostbusters, or you don't want the tradition touched?
Oh, no, no. Okay. I am not a gatekeeper for any of that. If it's media that I love, I just want more of it. And whoever's performing it, fantastic. It's great by me.
Bob, finally, are you going to go see The Force Awakens in the theater?
Saturday morning with my kids.
Okay. Now, you had to say with your kids. Would you have been okay just saying, I'm going to go see it?
Yeah.
would you want to see it without your kids or no?
You know, that opportunity actually came up, and it's a communal experience, and it's a family experience, and I want to be there with my kids to, again, see it through their eyes. So, I gave up my tickets on Thursday night to see an early showing so I can go see it with my kids on Saturday morning.
Great, okay. Bob Beard of the Center for Science and the Imagination at ASU is also one of the founders of the PBS NerdWalk. Bob, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.